Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Jesus freaks, we've been talking about following Jesus no matter the cost. And we've been following the lives of different individuals who have actually lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. They chose to follow Jesus when all it would be sometimes is a simple, just confess that Jesus is not the Lord of your life, and you will be spared death. And these people did not. And these were Christians, and sometimes we can say they're hardcore Christians, but according to the Bible, they're just Christians. They're people who say, above all else, I will follow God. I will trust God. And so I'm going to be wrapping up the series today, and I'll be talking a little bit. This is supposed to be a martyr story, but it didn't turn out that way. And I was thinking about this, and it just kind of, as I was preparing to think, like, who should I be talking about? I'm gonna be talking about somebody who is in the Bible. There's a book written about him, and his name is Daniel. Pastor Monica's excited. So, who knows the story of Daniel and the lion's den? Nice and high. Who knows the story? So I would say that looked like about 70% to me. What we're going to do today is I'm going to do three things. First of all, I'm going to read a portion of that story. I'm not going to read all of Daniel, but I encourage you to read Daniel. It's a really interesting book. It's found in the Old Testament, just to give you some clarity. And so this is before Jesus, about 600-ish years before Jesus came onto the planet and was born. And so this is a story about just one man who is following Jesus. There's a few friends as well, but one man who's following God. He's a Jewish boy, and he's got a portion of the Bible, but he doesn't have it all. And so as a Jew, you were raised a certain way, and the Jews were God's chosen people in the Old Testament. And so Daniel was just a youth in this story. And so today, as we go through this, I want to read the story. I want to give a few observations from the story. And then most importantly, hopefully the Holy Spirit can work some application into our lives. Because if we come in here the same, if we come in here and then leave the exact same, that's not really the goal. The hope is that we would be transformed in the renewing of our minds and our hearts and our bodies and everything, that we are being changed more and more into the likeness of Christ. So that's our goal. So I'm going to start off with reading from Daniel. And so you can, if you have your Bibles or on the app or the Bible app on your phone, we're going to be reading Daniel 1 and most of Daniel 1 and most of Daniel 6. It's a lot, but I'll just kind of go through it to lay the foundations of what's actually happening. And this is such a powerful story if you think about what's actually happening. So again, the context is Daniel's a young Jewish boy. He's a young teenager. And he's going to be actually captured by the Babylonians. King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians capture the Israelites, and they are taken in. And what happens is actually quite interesting, because Daniel, being a young boy, and they explain him as a young, smart, handsome young man, instead of, lots of times if a culture would come in, they'd take care of the men and just slay them and get rid of them so that they could dominate that culture. But they didn't. Their goal here was to actually integrate some of these men that were captured into the king's service, King Nebuchadnezzar's service, retrain them, re-indoctrinate their brains to serve. So that's kind of the groundwork of what's happening, where we're going to pick it up here. And so it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. So he took it over, and the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. Verse 3. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for all for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. If you want an example of that, Ben Darwin is that man right there, sitting right in the front. What a gorgeous man specimen. Whew, without blemish. So if you need just a picture, just imagine Ben Darwin there in the front seat. Verse 5, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years and after that entered the king's service. So we get what's happening. These boys have come in. Ben and the gang, Daniel and the gang have come in. They're going to get retrained for 3 years. The king's going to give them his food. This is what's up, okay? Verse 6, among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel, Belteshazzar, to Hananiah. What a great transition there. Daniel to Belteshazzar, okay. All right. Daniel to Hananiah, Shadrach to Mishael, and, Shadrach? Yeah. It doesn't matter. I got them all screwed up. Hananiah to Shadrach, Mishael to Meshach, Azariah to Abednego. That doesn't even matter. I shouldn't even read that section. But Daniel, this is the section that matters here. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now, God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should you see? Why should he see you looking worse than any other men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. So Daniel's like, no, I want to eat this food. I want to honor God. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the other young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and wine, and they were to drink, and gave them vegetables instead. These four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So that's a gift that God gave to Daniel. At the end of the time set by the king, to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So, you can see what's happening there. Daniel said, he didn't just put up a no, I'm not doing anything. He just said, hey, I'm going to be trained in these ways, but I do not want to defile myself because I want to honor God first. So that's kind of what sets the stage. Unfortunately, we don't have time to read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and what happened, but it's an incredible story as well. So I do encourage you, just set the Bible up. For me, when I'm driving, I like to just set it and just listen. So you can do that. But what we're going to do is we're actually going to fast forward to Daniel and the lion's den. And this is in chapter 6. And so here at this time, or prior to this time, Daniel was a teenager when he was getting introduced. And there's a lot of different things and a lot of things that happen. But he's probably around his 80s, they figure, during this time. So he's been serving, and you find out later, he actually served under 4 different kings, which is another story in itself, but it's very incredible. So King Darius now is reigning, okay? And King Darius loved Daniel, actually. And we know that in the story, we didn't read it, but we know that Daniel actually would interpret dreams of the kings and be able to actually say, this is what's going to happen. And he was given a lot of favor for that as well. So we're going to go through portions of chapter 6 now. So verse 1. Here we go. It pleased Darius to appoint, so Darius was the king at that time, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps, which those are governors of different provinces, to rule throughout the kingdom, with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. So he had Daniel, one of the top 3 guys under the king. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. It's pretty impressive. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these guys are scheming. They're like, "We got to get this guy out of here. He's too good. And we aren't nearly as good as him, so he's making us look bad." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den." So they're trying to trap Daniel. "Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, I love this verse. Verse 10 here. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before." It's pretty powerful. "Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about this royal decree. Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days anyone who prays to any god or human being except you, your majesty, would be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of these exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel, and he made every effort until sundown to save him. So we'll skip to 16. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And the king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." And then they put a stone in front of things, and the king returned home, and he was very distraught. And then at first light, this is verse 19, at first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguishing voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you." And the king was overjoyed, and he actually, just for time's sake, he basically just says everybody, he throws all the people who schemed against him, threw all those guys and their families into the lion's den. Bones were crushed and they were devoured. And the king then commanded that everyone was to worship the living God. And at the very end, the very last verse says, "So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian." Pretty crazy story to think. If you have imaginary like cartoon versions or a VeggieTales version in your mind, it's like, oh, he was thrown in the lion's den, but he's saved because God loves him, and that's just nice. And then it's like he chose the martyr life. He chose the life, said, "I will honor God above all things, no matter what." And he had an incredible response, and he was willing to die. He went right into those lion's den, but he was not killed. And so four quick observations from this story, just to help us understand a little bit more what I want to talk about when it comes to the application. The first one is Daniel made a resolution to honor God first. In Daniel 1, 8, and 9, it says, "But Daniel resolved," this is when he was a young boy, or a young teen, "but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or the wine that he drank." He chose. And just for some context, you know, for us, a lot of times food is food, and, you know, there's healthy food and unhealthy food. In this context, there was food that God deemed clean and unclean. And my guess is that he was being asked to eat food that was unclean. And we're like, "Come on, man, it's just some bacon or a ham sandwich. Go for it." No. So he resolved in his heart early. And you know, it seems like such an insignificant thing when we read that. You're just like, well, what's the big deal? You know, it was just a bit of food. But as a young person, Daniel resolved and just said, I'm not doing that. And Daniel had a choice right at the start. Which kingdom am I going to serve? Am I going to serve God's kingdom or am I going to serve man's? But he chose, obviously, not to defile himself. And so, I mean, we'll talk about application a little bit later, but what an awesome example. You're captured. I couldn't imagine how traumatic that would be. You're ripped from your own land. You're brought into a new land, a new culture, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, you better do this or else. But he had the guts to say, no, I choose God above that. So Daniel resolved in his heart to honor God, number one. Number two, Daniel continually served God. It says in Daniel 6:16, and this is the observation of the king. And it says 6:16 here, so the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. And it says, the king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. You know, Daniel didn't make just a decision to serve God in that moment, though he did. It wasn't just that moment. It was the moments that let... He was a young boy, and then all of a sudden he's in his 80s, and he outlasted other kings, and he continued to serve and serve, but he always served God. If you look at Daniel 6:10, I love this response. When the decree comes out, the satraps are trying to trap this Daniel character, and they're like, we got to get this guy out. And so right when the decree comes out, right when that decree happens, what does it say in Daniel 6:10? Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home. So he learned this, and he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. But it doesn't end there. The last phrase says, just as he had done before. So this wasn't like, oh man, this is going to be a tough situation. I better go home and pray. It's like, no, I've been doing this, and I've been doing this, and I've been doing this. I've just been faithful. I'm continuing to serve God. I serve God. And he just bows before him, and he worships him. What an example of consistency and a heart that serves God. Number three is Daniel lived with honor. So if we look at his response, it kind of just jumped out to me. When I was reading it, Daniel's thrown in the lion's den. And the king's just like, I don't want to do this, but I have to. If I go against my own word, it's like, what kind of king am I going to be? So he threw Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel survives. And the first answer that Daniel has and response that Daniel has to King Darius is found in Daniel 6:21. Daniel answered, may the king live forever. That's a pretty powerful statement. Imagine someone throws you to your own death, and the first thing that you say to them is a statement of honor. May the king live forever. That'd be hard to do. Even if you're friends with somebody, I'd be like, dude, what were you thinking, man? You're an idiot. Or you'd just be like, look at what I did through God's power. You know, there was no cockiness. He brought honor. And then, yeah, it's like, may the king live forever. That's how he started his whole statement. And he still honored that position that was placed over him. And, very, very powerful response. May the king live forever. And I think Daniel modeled very well a life that follows God and honors God first, but still honors authority placed over him, and not even godly authority. He still had an honor for that position. So I thought that was really powerful. And number four is Daniel experienced prosperity. It says it a couple different times throughout here, but at the very end of chapter 6, verse 28, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And blessing and prosperity were not Daniel's goal. They were to always honor God, serve God, worship God, but that was still a result, And I don't want you to hear me saying, if you serve God, you're going to be blessed and prosper in a North American mindset way. Okay? Just don't hear that. God wants to bless us with his presence, and he fills us with his presence. But blessing and prosperity were never the goal. Serving God and worshiping him was always the priority. And so I just find it interesting that through all these four kings, because just typically when a kingdom was conquered, so were all the leaders and those that were assisting the previous king. They were all either exiled or killed. And Daniel seemed to last through all four. And so that just goes to show how God continued to allow him to prosper through this time. So as we begin to wrap up, I want to give us a little bit of application. And hopefully the Holy Spirit has been already talking to you and speaking to your own heart and directing what he wants to do in you. But just a few observations. Based on those four observations, I just have four kind of responses / applications when it comes to really our character and our identity. The only reason Daniel was able to live this way wasn't just because he had a lot of strong will. He wasn't just a determined man. You know, we can determine a lot of things, but he actually surrendered himself to the leadership of God in his life. That's what he did. And so his character grew as he knelt and bowed his life in submission to God. And he found his identity in who God said he was and not anything else. And so the first thing, here's four things that we can learn from Daniel that apply to us as followers of Jesus, okay? You ready for this? Okay, good, because I'm not. Delicious. Number one, just like Daniel made a resolution, make a resolution to follow Jesus no matter the cost. Make a resolution to follow Jesus no matter the cost. Daniel was a youth and made a decision to follow God no matter the cost. And if there's any young people, I see young people in here, but young people in this room, this is a powerful thing. And if you're not quite a youth at this stage, it's never too late. But if you're a young person, this is a really, really important thing to get. And it's sometimes hard to understand because you just don't have as full of a picture of life. But let me tell you, making a decision to follow Jesus with your whole heart at a young age is way easier to do and way more powerful I shouldn't say way more powerful. It is not more powerful, but it is. There's something significant that happens in a young person's life when they determine to follow Jesus, and God can take that life and steer that life and direct that life at multiple young ages. And even this is just a story about myself, and I think I've told it before, but I grew up in a Christian home, and many people have grown up in Christian homes as well, and I had excellent parents. There's right here. Actually, I don't see my mom. Where's mom? Oh, she's watching the youngster, the German kids. Oh, Ella and Lena, what delights. So when I was a young person, I wanted to follow Jesus, and I thought I was, but to a degree, I hadn't really fully made that commitment. And so in the summer between grade 8 and grade 9, I was out with all the grade 12s, and they were all drinking, and I got drunk a couple times, two times. How dare you? And my parents found out, and they weren't angry at me, but they were disappointed. And they said, that's not how we've raised you, but in the same sense, it's like, you've got to make a decision. They took my guitar. At that time, I was playing guitar 3-4 hours a day. And they took the guitar away from me and just think about what you've done. And but what happened is I determined there, not necessarily that I wouldn't drink, though that was the determination, but the biggest thing I determined is like, no, I am going to follow God. And then I did. And it was very... It was actually really easy to do once I had determined that, because God gave me the strength. It wasn't like, okay, I'm just going to use all this willpower. It's like, willpower? No, I'm going to follow God. And so hopefully that can be even a simple encouragement for you as you're going into a new school year. Make that choice. Just make the choice to follow Jesus. Because if you ride the fence, it's uncomfortable. Let me tell you, it's uncomfortable. You want to be on one side or the other. You don't want to be smack dab in the middle. You don't want to be. And it doesn't work. So go all in for Jesus. Make a resolution to follow Jesus with your whole heart. Number two, serve God continuously. Now that seems like a bit of a difficult task, and guaranteed Daniel had some off days and he would have made some mistakes. He wasn't perfect because he wasn't Jesus, but he still lived a life of integrity and character based off the identity that God gave him. And so, you know, we talked about earlier how the king even recognized, man, this is how Daniel serves. He serves God continuously. And here's the question for us. What would your friends, bosses, teachers, coaches, employees, people a part of different sports teams, what would they say about you? Would they have that same response? It's like, oh, that's the person that serves God. They love God. And it's not about being this crazy, weird Christian where you're just running around the whole time being like, I love God. I love God. You don't have to do that. But there's going to be, for lack of better words, an aroma that comes off, like a spiritual aroma that comes off of your life. And people should know that there's something different about you. And, you know, so that's the encouragement, really, to serve God. And it's not easy, but this is how we do it. Colossians 3:10, it says, put on your new nature to be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. It says a very similar thing in Ephesians 4, verse 22. It says, to put off your old self, that's the sinful nature, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt by deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. It's only by that new nature that you can actually live in servanthood to God. If you're just trying and trying and trying in your own strength, it will not work. And so you need to renew your mind. You need to actually take that old self off and put on the new self. Number three is live with honor. And, you know, we briefly talked about this, but how Daniel just said, may the king live forever. How are we speaking about the people in our lives, just in general? The people that we know, the people that are closest to us, the people that are kind of, like maybe they could be a boss or a teacher or something in that realm, and even government officials. How are we speaking about them? Now, this doesn't mean that we go along with whatever the government says, and if a teacher is asking you in a classroom to do something that just really isn't godly, you actually have to stand up and say, you know what, with all due respect, and you still honor that position, but you say, I just cannot do this because I choose to follow God and honor Him above. So this isn't a one or the other. Just, you know, so I don't need to go into all that, but hopefully you understand that living with honor is a humble position. It's a position that Christ took. Christ took that and he brought value to people. Even though he highly disagreed with them, he brought honor to them. And then finally, number four, God causes us to prosper. If there's any type of prosperity in your life, and again, lots of times, the first time I hear that, the word prosperity, I think, money, money. But any type of blessing through friendship, blessing through the provision of a word from God. You could be in a very difficult situation and God brings wisdom and insight into that. That's the prosperity of God blessing your life. And so all blessing, all prosperity comes from God. And Daniel was one that acknowledged that. So hopefully those things are helpful to you, because as we live in a world where I find, at least, maybe you don't, but I feel like no matter what topic you pick, it's just like the chasms continue to just grow and grow and grow. And I believe God calls us as Christians, first and foremost, number one, to honor Him. So we always honor God, whether it's popular or not. But lots of times, God's going to send us into those chasms. And we're going to have to live with a spirit of humility that honors other people. And it's not about picking, because I know it seems especially, and this is not new, but things have been accelerated so much more since COVID happened. There's so much more divide between people. And I just imagine all these, every one of you going to your workplace or your school, in your homes, on your sports teams, just different activities. Imagine each one of you bringing honor to God first and foremost in your workplace. And then imagine, you know, you're bringing honor to those that you're either leading or that you're underneath. And there is, could you imagine what could happen in our culture? This is a lot of people in a room that could actually transform so much. And so obviously it's the Holy Spirit's work to do that in you. You know, I can't tell you or make you do anything. But hopefully the Holy Spirit has been working even one thing in your life and saying, this, you know what, God, you're putting your finger on this in my life. And I've just had a spirit of bitterness towards this person in authority. And I want to have that same spirit that Daniel had that just said, even though this guy was trying to kill me, I still honor you. I think it's really powerful. So as I wrap up, I want to invite you to even stand to your feet. And we're going to take a few moments and we're going to pray together. I want to pray over every person in this room. You know, it's God who gives us the new identity. It's not, so if you're thinking here, oh, this is going to just be so hard to do. No, look at Colossians, look at Ephesians. Put off the old self and put on the new self. And for many of us in this room, we're Christians and we have already put that old self off. But sometimes it's just like a friendly coat that you just want to put back on. And God's saying, no, I have a brand new garment for you to wear. And so the invitation today is, first of all, that we would just humble ourselves to God again and just say, God, would you have your leadership in my life as I go through Monday to Saturdays, as I go through interacting with different people? God, would you have your work in my life? And then secondly, I want to just invite any person in this room who's never invited or who has never committed their lives to following Jesus. You might be on one side of the fence that is the non-following Jesus side, and you can jump right over today through that prayer. You might be on the fence where it's like, man, this has been uncomfortable. This is really difficult. You can just flop on over to that other side, do a barrel roll onto the other side where the life of Jesus is. And so let me pray over you, and then I'll invite us to pray a prayer together. And so, Father God, thank you first and foremost that you are the same God that spoke to Daniel, that gave Daniel the different gifts and abilities, God. You are the one that provided and protected him when he was in the lion's den, God. And you're that same God who wants to offer that same protection to us, God, in whatever spheres of influence that we have, God. And so, God, I pray over your people, God. I pray a refreshing over your people. God, I pray where we've either been straddling the fence or, God, we've just not really been all in with you, God. I pray that there would be a new resolution in our heart to follow you, to trust you, to decide to say that I am all in for you, Jesus. And God, thank you that it's by your Spirit that you counsel us, you direct us, you lead us, God. The great counselor comes into our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father God, thank you as well for this opportunity to come to you. And God, ultimately, you give that invitation to all people. And many in this room have made that choice to say, I want to give up my old life. I want to repent of my sin. And I want to acknowledge Jesus as the Lord of my life. And so even right now, churches, as we prepare to do that, if that's you and you have not actually given yourself to God, brought surrender to God, to Christ. If you have not surrendered your life to him, this is a moment that you can do that. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and then Pastor Mike is going to come up here and just help us to discover what's next. And so I just want to invite each person to pray this prayer out loud. And especially if this is your first time praying this prayer, just invite you to pray along with me. And so let's just pray together. Jesus, I come to you. And I acknowledge that you are Lord. I thank you for your life, your death, and resurrection. I ask you that you would forgive me of all my sin and that you would lead me in paths of righteousness. I go all in with you, Jesus. I thank you that from today and forevermore, I am a Christian and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, and let's just give God a great celebration.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.